Borough Talks, the Borough Market podcast, is back. We've got a brilliant lineup for you this series. We've got Elliot Hashtrudi talking all things offal at his amazing restaurant Camille. Brindisi's Monica Linton sharing her thoughts on the evolution of British cuisine. And the founders of Genki talking all things matcha. All of this, plus chats about the future of British cheese and the unique flavours of one of Italy's lesser-known regions. That's Borough Talks, the Borough Market podcast. Follow on Spotify today.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever looked in the mirror and thought, why do I look so tired? Not older, just tired. And somehow the reflection changes your entire mood for the day. Today, we're talking about something bigger than skincare. We're talking about confidence, emotional wellness, and what it really means to age powerfully. Now, today, I'm really excited. We have Margot on the show today, and she is amazing. And I just want, before we begin, you know, I don't think a lot of people know your background. So I just want you to go and tell people a little briefly about yourself before we dive right into this topic, because I'm really excited to talk about it.
With pleasure. I'm Margot Grant-Witz, and I'm the third generation of Elizabeth Grant Skincare, led by my grandma, who's 103, her daughter-in-law, my mom, who's turning 73, and myself. My grandmother created a skincare range over 78 years ago and counting. And today we have proudly make, manufacture, and formulate every single product in-house to help change the narrative around the aging process from, ugh, I'm so old, to what a blessing it is to age. And I look great doing it.
I love it. I love it. Now, Margot, why do so many women feel like aging is something that they're supposed to fight?
Because we've been made to feel that way. We have always been made to feel as women from a very young age that we are not good enough. We're not the right shape, the right size, the right hair color, the right height, the right weight, the right ethnicity. We have always been made to feel that who we are doesn't really fit what someone wants them to be. And instead of women sort of standing in their own confidence and saying, wait, why not? What's so wrong? Because look how amazing I am. It chips away. And then there's the bigger fear as well, when a lot of the time there is this concept, whether you're married or you're not married, that you have seen someone get changed in for a younger model. So when you always see the latest and greatest being sort of on your heels and in your shadows, there is that fear of not how do I embrace it, but how do I push it off so that fate, that fear doesn't follow me.
Right. You think so too, is like the fear of becoming invincible. Like, you know, as you get older, if you don't stand out and you don't look beautiful and young, that, you know, you're just going to kind of like flow in, you know, with the rest of the crowd, and you won't be that, you know, beautiful young woman that, you know, Hollywood and, you know, the media, you know, tries to standardize as the quote unquote beautiful woman.
So I think that whole concept also differs depending on the country you're in. So North American beauty standards are very different than Euro and Asian beauty standards, and what we think is beautiful and what the shape and what the size and what the look is that is so stunning. But what's right. So interesting is I don't even think it's based on the beauty standards that are made, because it's also the pressures we feel with social media, where you get to film and stop and edit and curate and make sure that the background's great, and I'm the perfect Pinterest mom, and I'm the perfect woman who is a mom and a hard worker and all of this, and it's all curated. So when you have these curations that are constantly fed to you without the messaging of, do you know how many times I filmed this before I knew it was perfect? It's not just about feeling invisible, it's about recognizing and feeling that you're just not good enough, that no matter what they are on the other side, I don't belong here. I don't fit at this table. And I think the fear when it comes to aging is, as long as you're young and beautiful, the world is your oyster and it's not too late.
Right. Oh, very true. So really, aging isn't the problem. It's the disconnection from confidence, what it is.
And what we're made to feel. Like, it's such an interesting concept. Who are you not to be confident? Who are you not to be amazing? Who are you not to stand in your own power, in your own 2 feet, regardless of if you're the CEO of something or a secretary or a crossing guard or a nurse or a stay-at-home mom, you are the most amazing version of yourself that you can be if you allow it. And the right. audience or the life or the platform, the stage that you are working in and you're engaging in, that's your stage and yeah. you're meant to be there.
Right. Now, what are women really struggling with when they say that they're unhappy with their skin? You know, is it the dullness, the fine lines, maybe the loss of firmness, dark spots, or looking exhausted, or skin not bouncing back, you know, spending money on products that don't work? You know, why are they feeling so frustrated and defeated?
I think it's one of those things, shiny and new and filtered and AI'd and all of these things that are perfect and amazing, all of the makeup that can be put on us. And there's a rawness that when that all gets taken away, there's a vulnerability that gets taken away from yourself in that moment where you see not just the lines and wrinkles, or as I say, the air let out of the tires, the breakdown of collagen, but it's also, where did my life go? Yeah. What were the choices that I made? And I kind of remember when I had so much hope and opportunity in college or university, or the world was so big. I remember like statements with kids being like, I can't wait to grow up. I can't wait to be an adult. Yeah. And all of that hope and dream and opportunity gets chipped away. And I think each one of those lines or moments where you're sitting and you're lifting, you go, is there enough years in my life to still make a difference and live what I want and travel and jump at the chances and start again? Or can I not because of the life that I've built? And I'll always say that the wrinkles and crinkles, they're moments and they're memories. So the crow's feet, they're laugh lines. You laughed with all your friends. You cried when you walked your child down the aisle. You cried so much till your belly hurt because you were laughing with your girlfriend, or you packed her up when she broke up with someone. These are all moments, and they were moments of a life you lived. And when we get that dopamine, that adrenaline in that moment, it feels so great. And when the world is quiet or mundane or boring, and we're constantly seeing, oh, she's so gorgeous, or she's so this, or she's so that, I still matter? Am I still relevant? Does my voice mean something to someone?
Right.
And I always say, like, men, they don't care. They get to rock and roll and roll up and age and be gray and be leathery and all sorts of things. But our skins are different. Our skins are fundamentally different than men's. Ours are thinner, men's are thicker. And so it's not sort of fair in the aging process, if that makes sense, about the degradation. But women are life. Women are the most amazing, incredible people, from what they create to who they create to how they know who and when to support. I just wish we were able to do it for ourselves more.
Right. You know, it seems like when you don't feel good about your skin, it affects how you show up also.
Always. If you are so worried about the dark circles or the crow's feet or my favorite, are you okay? Are you tired? You look really upset. Are you mad? And you're like, this is just my face. You know, you're always made to feel that someone is always watching. And when you're looking in the mirror, and you're lifting and you're holding and you're saying, oh, when did this happen? You can't help but have that flaw that you're sort of zoning in on. And I'll always say this sort of with acne as well. When you have a big pimple, you go, oh my goodness, that's all someone's going to see. What is this? They're going to think I'm this like little teenager person who doesn't know how to do anything right with their skin. But it's nothing, you know, it's just something that we're a little nervous about, that someone might pick away at our armor, that our perfection, our mode, our wardrobe of I'm the big, wonderful boss woman who shows up. Is this going to show my insecurity? And I think when someone sort of leans into that insecurity or that fear, those sounds and those movements and those conversations, they get megaphoned, but not externally, internally. Right.
You know, what does great skin actually represent emotionally?
I think great skin, just you feel good. You can look in the mirror and love what you see. You can say, I don't look good for my age. I just look good. It doesn't mean that's perfect. That doesn't mean that the wrinkles and crinkles aren't there. That doesn't mean that the sun damage isn't there. That doesn't mean that, the turkey neck isn't there. None of that is what it means. You can always get that fixed. Get an injection. You can get a facelift. By the way, a facelift lasts 10 years. Always remember that, please, and thank you. But it's the concept of a great skin is almost like a great pair of, I hate to even equate it to this, but a great pair of sweatpants. You get home, you put on the sweatpants, you take off the bra, and you just go, I feel really comfortable right now. And that's what great skin should be. I feel really comfortable in my skin. This is the only skin we have. This is our largest organ. We cannot go to the grocery store and pick up a new something as if you're going to cook dinner that night. You can do anything you want to chase, but I think you have to ask what exactly you're chasing and why, because if you can't answer that question, no matter what you do, no matter what cream you put on, no matter what work you will get on, your goalposts will keep moving.
Right. And really, it seems like it really plays a role in our self-care, our vitality, our health, our presence, confidence, and feeling polished and put together, you know?
Of course. I always joke, you have the conversation of the Adam Sandlers of the world and they just show up, right? And everyone is like idolizing Adam Sandler right now, being like, how many women just get home and put on the shorts? And it's because he just is unapologetically himself. Yeah. And I think if a lot of women can be more unapologetically themselves, I've always said, when you stop fighting your body stops fighting you. We are so blessed to be in an age and a stage where we're able to grow older, that we have a really much longer a runway in life, that there's all sorts of vitamins and nutrients and minerals and amino acids and biohacking. There's everything that you can do to give yourself an option to be healthier. But the best part is we're here, we're healthy. You have your health, you have a roof over your head, your food in your belly. You are a blessed living life. And a wrinkle and a crinkle should not derail that conversation. A wrinkle and a crinkle should be something, okay, look, you get to celebrate it, because the opposite of celebrating that wrinkle and crinkle and complaining about it is not having the opportunity to complain at all. You're not here.
Exactly. Now, so basically, great skin doesn't make you confident. It supports the confidence already installed inside you.
100%. I mean, think about all these famous people, and all of a sudden you hear this insecurity come out of them and you go, wait, how is it that you feel insecure too? You have all of the money and all of the staff and all of the time. But what's universal is we all have this innate pressure externally and internally. Our plates, regardless of where we are on the ladder of society or career, we all have a plate that we have our own pressure with. And women sort of, instead of saying, listen, my plate's full, I don't want to take any more on, or I already have enough of that little appetizer on, or why don't I get a bigger plate? They just keep piling and piling and piling, versus sort of saying, how do I release this a little bit to share what my plate looks like? Because when I think when we share our plates, we're more universally aligned than we are different.
Yeah. Oh, so true. So true. So really, to shift tone to hopeful and empowering. So I want to know, so what if aging wasn't something to fight, but it was something to optimize, like a healthier glow or a firmer looking skin or a brighter appearance or less stress about appearance or a simpler routine or feeling radiant without overdoing it and overpowering yourself with it? What do you think about that?
I think it's amazing. But I think it's there. I think that is right there already. I people always say, what products are right for me, Margot? I say the products you're going to use, the products you're going to consistently use if you want to. Well, how many steps of the routine should I use? Well, how many steps do you want? What's your goal of your skin? That's all there. But the conversation of biohacking's there, the conversations of vitamins and nutrients are there. The conversation is all there, but we reframe it differently. So if we just had pink shirt day, and that's the anti-bullying day, and we want kids to feel good and kids to feel empowered. And then at some point we forget, we should also have that care and that courtesy to each other. And
right.
I find, as much as I love to say, I want women to fix each other's crowns, we all have crowns, I love them. I also find a lot of the time women are more like a crab in a bucket. They want to pull someone else down versus pick someone else up. And that confidence and that beauty starts to be replaced with fear. A fear of, am I not good enough? Are they going to see it? Is she going to be better than me? Is she funnier than me? Is she younger than me? Is she skinnier than me? Does she look better than me? And instead of sort of taking those seeds of doubt and throwing them out, we allow them to feed this forest of despair. And I say, what's crazy right now, the craziest fact I've ever heard is the largest demographic that is getting Botox today are 25-year-olds.
Wow.
What does a 25-year-old, other than TMJ, because TMJ is a real thing, what does a 25-year-old need to be like perfect?
Exactly.
And I always remember my grandmother said to me when I was a little girl, because I used to run and put all the makeup on. She says to me, why are you putting on cover-up? I go, because you put on cover-up. She says, well, why are you putting on a heavy foundation? I go, because you put on a heavy foundation. I was 15. She goes, what are you covering up? You have nothing to cover up. And so we're just made to sort of look and shiny and have that conversation. And then you sort of miss the metrics of why it's being done. So the Sephora kids, the 7-year-olds, the 11-year-olds who are racking up hundreds of dollars in Sephora.
Yeah.
It's not because they need anything in Sephora, but it's a great way to create the consumer that can be the next generation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Now, Margot, give us three simple pro-aging principles that anyone could start immediately to protect their skin.
Clean your face with a great cleanser, not makeup wipes. Stop it with the makeup wipes. If you're not cleansing your skin, you are doing yourself a disservice to your skin. This might be something that people have a lot of passion on, and I love that for you. Avoid the sun. And I'm talking about, if you want to be in the sun and you want your vitamin D, it's great, but your skin is like a piece of chicken. Don't cook the chicken, you know, like this is the only organ we have. So if you really want something of a younger, fresher skin, that would be the easiest way to have an external aspect that you can control. I love a good hat. Hats of Fabouche, ladies and gents, they're everybody's fan. And last but not least, and this is a crazy one, understanding that aging is caused mostly, yes, there's chronological factors, yes, there's environmental stressors, but it's internal and external stress as well that ages our cells and ages our organs and really dims the light from the inside. And so if you can start to have those balances, whether it's more sleep, whether it's more water, whether it's not taking yourself as seriously, things start to relax. And I think that leads to a very easy and achievable, beautiful looking you.
Right. I like that. I like that. Now, you know, in America, so many women use those makeup wipes. They are so popular. You know, can
sure
you
are.
The difference between a cleanser and wipes?
Sure. So a wipe, I will say it's a great way to break up the makeup because makeup really is here to stand the test of time. It can survive whatever is thrown at us in today's formulations, but it just smears stuff around. It's all alcohol based and it doesn't get into your pore. And my dog is loving to move the camera. My apologies, folks. But that is a makeup wipe. You think that it's sort of getting deep down, but it's not getting deep down. A cleanser takes away the dirt of the nooks and crannies. So a great way I can explain it is you would never not wash your clothes. You would never not wash your underwear. You would never take a wet rag and just do a spot thing and be like, I'm clean. I can wear this again. And that's the difference between a cleanser and a makeup wipe. And I know makeup wipes think it's easy and convenient and we're all so busy. But a cleanser takes 30 seconds. Do it just before you hop in a shower or brush your teeth or any of it. And your skin will really thank you. And try not to get a cleanser that's stripping of your skin.
Right.
Because your skin will tell you if it likes it or not. Nothing should be squeaky clean. So that sort of erodes your sebaceous glands, and your sebaceous glands go into overdrive. So you should never strip your skin. But also, if something feels spicy, if something leaves your skin red or raw, this does not make it better. This actually is your skin saying, please don't use it. And no matter how many people tell you it's the best thing in the world, if your skin isn't happy about it, find something that makes your skin happy.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to SPF, products, they're very popular, most, should you look for products that have SPF in it so you could protect yourself from the sun? What's your intake and how do you feel about that?
I think you can always add SPF as a topical product, and it doesn't dysregulate what the core of your products are doing. So do I believe in having an SPF in a cream or in a serum? Not really, because it's just a 15 for the most part, and it's not as impactful or blocking as you're hoping for. And plus that then takes away the efficacy of other ingredients that you're hoping to achieve and hoping to use. So I always just say, if you're going to use your SPF, place it on at the last step, place it on just before you leave the house. And if you're a big makeup wearer, like the heavy foundations, that actually has that built-in blocker of UVAs and UVBs just based on how makeup is made. So I think just be aware of it. And I would always keep it separate. And I know that sounds like a crazy thing, because we always want to have something easy and less steps.
Yeah.
But the most efficacy you can do is the last step before you head out the door.
Right.
And plus, if you're someone who buys one cream, sorry to interrupt, but if you're someone who buys one cream and it has an SPF in it, you might not use it at night, because why are you going to use the SPF at night? So, keep it separate.
I like that. That's very good advice. And, I was also wondering, when it comes to nourishment and it comes to nourishing the skin, can you give us some tips on how people can work on nourishing their skin?
So yeah, there's a bunch of different ways. So there's nourishing internally, nourishing topically. And nourishing internally is all the unsexy stuff that we don't love. Great water, great clean eating. And by clean eating, that doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means, you're eating a nice colorful rainbow of fruits and vegetables and drinking a lot of water. So that stuff, super unsexy, but really, really great for your skin. And also walking, really great to get your cells moving and the blood going. And that is the biggest, easiest thing that someone could do, because you just need a good pair of shoes and off you go. Externally, what you can do to nourish your skin is listen to your skin. And it goes back to, if it hurts, doesn't mean it's going to work. If it feels spicy, don't use it. I will always say, there will always be trends. There will always be the latest ingredient. There will always be something that tells you it's going to be the latest and greatest. And that is the beauty of science. Science is phenomenal to be able to keep us figuring out something young and fresh and exciting for our skin. But I love a layered approach. So we are the home of the serum. And what I mean by that is, my grandmother created the very first serum on the beauty market ever for at-home use in 1948. The second serum that came out from another brand was in 1982. So that's almost a 40-year lead. Wow. And it was an amazing product that we still have today. And it's in every single one of our products, is our special ingredient, which is called the Trisslyn, which is a particular type of sea kelp that genuinely, on clinical trials, in a blind third-party test, has reduced wrinkles by 100%, created improved radiance by 100%, improved hydration by 100%, improved firmness and elasticity by 100%, which is a crazy clinical to be able to say, but we're proud to say it. So I always say serum, cream, and then anything else is a bonus. At the nighttime, though, the best trick, the gold standard in anti-aging, there's something that someone will say will make you look younger, is retinol or glycolic acid. And I just say, if you can pick one up, don't worry about it. It should never hurt to work. Find one that's in your spice category. Glycolic acid is just a natural derivative of sugar cane, but it doesn't wind up on your hips. So it's just great. It's your nice deep clean. And that is the best way to nourish. Consistency and application of something you like to use, and know that your skin changes. And if you change with it, and listen to products that are really helping you at that time, amazing.
I love that. I love that. Now, what are some of the ingredients that support elasticity? Because that's a big thing in America. You know, women are so, you know, obsessed with that.
Yeah. So there are the concept of collagen, which is different molecules of sizes that work, but there's also peptides. And everyone goes, oh, a peptide, peptide, peptide. And then no one goes, wait a second, what's a peptide? So peptides actually are short chain amino acids that help to feed your collagen naturally, internally. And so it's a great way to get that bounce back topically, to be able to enjoy and get that elasticity. But a fun extra tip that I think people sort of take for granted is how they move their face. So if you're constantly pulling your face, rubbing under your eyes, breaking down the skin, pulling on your neck, lifting your eyebrows, also be careful when people go get their eyebrows done for waxing for this reason. Like, don't let people pull your skin. Your skin is a muscle. Your skin has memory. So the more you move it in the exact same way, that is where you're going to see issues. So the more you frown, the more you pull, the more you rub, the more you lift, it actually is doing the lack of balance that you're hoping to do. And then, of course, I'll always say there's fun ways to create that lymphatic drainage and facial yoga that can actually help to stimulate without breaking the collagen of your skin.
Oh, wow. That's great advice. Now, when it comes to stimulation and how to stimulate the skin, you know, you talked about collagen support and, you know, and what, you know, like, I know that light exfoliation helps, like, but what is light exfoliation and going overboard?
So light exfoliation, you can either have a chemical or you can have a physical. And what I mean by that is, as mentioned, glycolic acid, that is considered a chemical, an AHA, a BHA, a PHA. So alpha hydroxy acid, beta hydroxy acid, polyhydroxy acids. None of them are to make you freak out. I know you hear acid and you're like, oh my God. No, there's acids and bases. This should never hurt to work, especially if you have sensitive skin. Polyhydroxic acids, unbelievable, obsessed. And then there's the physical exfoliator. So the apricot scrubs, the walnut scrubs, the crystals, the things like that, the tangible things you can feel. Overboard is when your skin is red, when your skin is raw, when your skin, you go, oh, it looks so good. Look how red it is. It's so amazing. No, you went past the onion layer that you're meant to go to. You went too far of the peel. And so, for example, if you were to go to a dermatologist and say, I'm here for my glycolic treatment, they pull out all the vials, you know, and it starts off as little as like 10% and then 20% and then 30, and it goes all the way up to 60%. And you have to build that tolerance, and they keep you in this like donut of like a towel. And then you have like a cooling fan. Same with all the IPLs, the Fraxel lasers, all of them, that you become very red and raw because it's literally physically removing the layers that are that are damaged and old to release and relieve the beautiful younger skin. Now, I will always say, if you want a laser, please go to a very well-researched dermatologist or plastic surgeon, not a backyard esthetician, not someone because it worked on your friend Sally and so it's going to work on you. Do your research, because you don't want to mess this up. It's the only one you have.
It's true. You know, they do so many chemical peels now, and they do so many, you know, laser treatments and stuff like that. But then they're also like, some of these are stripping you, you know, to your raw skin. And also, like, when the sun, you know, you, once you damage the third layer of your skin, you know, no matter how much you could temporarily take those sunspots or that damaged skin away, but those spots are eventually going to come back because they're already in your third layer of skin, correct?
They sure are. What you did in your 20s or in your teens, they are coming up in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s and your 60s. It's not all of a sudden you took a walk on a Wednesday and you have sun damage or melasma on a Thursday. It was there. It just, your skin naturally sheds. So when you have that conversation of your dead skin cells, it's it's not like a snake that you see everything peel, but everything starts to sort of peel and go away. Just not as blatantly as it would in the animal kingdom.
Right. Now, how does taking care of your skin change how you move through the world? Like, you know, better posture, maybe more eyelid contact and so forth.
I think when you start investing in yourself, regardless of what it is, when you start saying, I want to make this change, I want to put this cream on, it becomes a routine for you, right? You're like, okay, look at me today, putting on the cream. And it just feels good in the morning to do it. When you create positive habits, it's a domino effect for everything else. So a silly example is making your bed in the morning. You make your bed in the morning, you've done something, you've done at least one thing. You can say, I did something productive today. Everything else is a bonus. You just did the one thing. So when you put on your skincare and you're putting it on, you go, okay, well, I did skincare, so I don't really want to do A, B, C, and D. You know, it's just like a nice little positive conversation. But what's interesting is it doesn't happen in the 24 to 48 hours that you put it on. It doesn't happen in the 7 to 14 days that you're putting it on. It only starts to resonate with you when at 21 to 28 days, someone looks at you and go, you look really good. Like, what have you been doing? Who did you see? Did you cut your hair? Did you lose weight? Did you get your teeth whitened? Like, someone can't put their finger on it. And then you go, no, actually, I'm not even wearing ton of foundation that I used to wear. Or I just, they go, but you have a glow about you. Did you sleep well? It's just when other people start to notice, the work starts to go into your head going, oh, that's why I did this. And you show up before you show up. And what I mean by that is how you feel about yourself, your energy, how you hold your head up, shows up in the room before you do. It shows up before your outfit. It shows up before your makeup. It shows up before your voice. So if you walk in and you're like, I look great. You look great. You know, if you walk in and you're a supermodel and you're like, oh, I'm so insecure. Yeah. That's also what reads the room, right?
Right. Oh, for sure. For sure. So confidence isn't like a vanity. It's actually energy, you know, it really brings out the true you.
It brings out the true you and sometimes gives you space to become the you who you're meant to be. You know, whatever your history is, whatever your story is, whatever your creation story happened, whatever negative happened to you, because some negative happens to everybody.
Yeah.
No matter how big or how small.
Mm-hmm.
But the confidence happens when you don't allow that to anchor you in negativity. So how we started as a company is my grandmother was a makeup artist at Elstree Studios, and she suffered from bomb blast damage during World War II by a shrapnel, V2 bomb blast in the street next to her. And all she wanted to do was go back to work. All she wanted to do was feel confident and beautiful and gorgeous. And she didn't feel that she could make other people feel gorgeous if, in her mind, she was injured and her face was damaged and there was scarring. She felt that she couldn't show up to be who she was. So all she wanted to do was go back to work. All she wanted to do was have the ability to pay her bills and feed her belly and do what she loved. And it was only when Vivian Leigh, yes, the actress from Gone with the Wind, wasn't Gone with the Wind at the time, but she looked at my grandmother and said, you have gorgeous skin. What do you use?
Right.
Then my grandmother sheepishly went into her bag and took out a tiny bottle of the essence of Tresemme and gave it to her. And my grandmother had this light bulb moment. She goes, this woman who is stunning, who is beautiful, who the world is like, oh my God, Miss Lee. She has feelings of insecurity too. And it's sort of humanized. Sorry, I will move my dog who is 7 months old and he is getting bored. But luckily he didn't knock over the camera. But it was one of those things that an aha moment said, it doesn't matter what's in your bank account.
Yeah.
It matters how we're made to feel. And when she resonated with that truth, she wanted to change how women showed up for themselves before they showed up for anyone else.
I love that. I love that. Now, what does pro-agent really mean?
You're not getting out alive, folks. Like, you're just not. So if you're so sad about, oh my God, I'm 40. Oh my God, I'm 60. Oh, okay, like say it loud, say it proud, because there are people who didn't get to that level. There are people who didn't get to celebrate that candle. There are people who didn't have that opportunity. And I joked about this earlier. The only time that we wanted to be older was when you had a fake ID and you wanted to go somewhere you weren't supposed to go. Now, if someone asks me for an ID to check, I'm running to my wallet to be like, look, here I am, you know? It is a badge of honor, and pro-aging should be just that. Yes. It's something you can be proactive about. It's something that's tangible in your hands. There are so many different options and availability for you to look in the mirror and what love what you see. And pro-aging is just to help to change the narrative to feel great in your skin. And I say this so passionately because I worked with Look Good, Feel Better for a long time. And Look Good, Feel Better is an association that provides free seminars for women and teenage girls who are going through the physical effects of chemotherapy. And when their beauty is taken away, when their rawness is there, and they are no longer Michelle or Nadia or Susan or Elizabeth, but they're like, oh, you have this stage.
Yeah.
It's such an empowering thing to see how taking control of learning about their skin or just putting on their eyebrows changes their whole mood.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important that pro-aging, aging is a blessing.
It
and
is.
women, it's time. If we want to be nicer to the young girls or the little girls, what would you tell your younger self, or what do you want your daughter to be, or who do you want her to grow up to be, and all of these things, then be nicer to yourself too, because you deserve the same love.
100%. Now, what would you say to a woman who feels like her past, you know, like she's past her prime?
What is past your prime? What does this mean? Are you on your deathbed? Okay, you're past your prime. What's your prime? You can fall in love again at any stage. You can get a new career at any stage. You can move countries at any stage. This does not make any of these things easy. Does this not make any of these things come without consequences or challenges or expenses? But what it does do is it gives the opportunity to understand what prime. Your prime is today. Your prime is tomorrow. Your prime is, are you healthy enough to stand up? Are you healthy enough to make a choice? Do you have the ability to just talk to a friend? This is your prime.
Right.
We see so often that we hear these conversations that when someone is passing or on their deathbed, they will never look back at the things that they did and regret it. They'll always look back at the things that they didn't do and had the excuses for why they can't do it right now.
Exactly.
So your prime is every day that you get to wake up for the chance to do it again. Like you look at Vera Wang, who just started her career in her late 40s or 50. You look at Colonel Sanders. You look at all of these people who were able to start something fresh and new in their careers in the best way.
Yeah. It's so true.
So when I hear past your prime, I don't understand what that means. I really don't. I only understand what that means if you don't have the luxury to do something again. Then you're past your prime.
Right. You know, it really, if you think about it, aging isn't about disappearing. It's about evolving, you know?
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you mentioned that most people didn't hit that level of success that they dreamed of until their mid ages, you know, until they hit their 40s or 50s, and you know, things just, you know, started to spur out, and it's, they got the snowball effect, and they started to grow and become the person they dreamed of becoming, you know, at any age, you know. And I think people just they look at aging in a totally, you know, negative way. And I think today's conversation is great because you really hit it on an emotional level. You went past, beyond, you know, just thinking of it the way society thinks of it. You dug deep into, you know, how it positively is, you know, helps us emotionally if we do the right things, you know, and if we change our mindset, if we take care of our bodies, if we do what we're supposed to, you know, aging is a beautiful thing. And
aging
you
is
know,
a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, think about all you get to experience. Think about you know, you look back at some friendships and you're like, you've been my best friend for 20 years, 40 years, 50 years. You get to see your kids grow if you have children. You get to have grandkids. You get to have 100 dogs, you know, like you get to read all the books. You get to travel the world. You get to see how the world has changed. Like my grandmother's 103. To see the worlds that she got to live through, the changes she got to live through.
Right.
I think we're so impatient for what's next.
Yeah.
We forget about the place we are is probably where you prayed for or where you worked so hard to get.
Yes. Now tell me a little about your products and let people know, you know, what products you sell and what they do and so forth.
With pleasure. So as Elizabeth Grand Skincare, we've been around for 78 years and counting. We make, manufacture, and formulate every single product in-house in our privately owned manufacturing facility here in Toronto, Canada. And we do have everything from head to toe and back up again. And so we have a range for every stage and every age and every concern that you can imagine, because we are on the omni channels of shopping channels around the world. We're in 10 of them in every country, the QVCs, the Ideal Worlds, the TSCs, the TVSNs. So it's really great. It's really fun. And we have something that is proprietary to us. It is called Tarislam. It is actually written up by cosmetic dermatologists and plastic surgeons to say that, yeah, the ingredient does actually work and it does actually make you look younger and it does help to reduce wrinkles and crinkles and plump your skin. And it's in every single one of our products, except for our perfumes. And I'm so proud of our team, because our team is 85% of women. And out of those women, 85% of those women are over the age of 45. And the head of our R&D is a woman over the age of 50. And why this is important is because we don't have a gentleman telling us how we're meant to feel or like what you're meant to look like. We have real women who are living and breathing and appreciating that our skin can change through the month, the season, the week, the day, the hour. And it's so great. So we have serums, because we're the home of the serum. We have under eye patches. We have neck creams. We have face creams. We have collagen. We have caviar. We have royal manuka honey. We have our professional range, which is the major, like the AHAs and BHAs and all sorts of things. We have every ingredient you can imagine. And we just make something that we lovingly call as Mastige, which is prestige for the masses. Which means we will always make an exceptionally high quality product and keep the prices in an affordable way.
I love it. I love it. Now, where can people actually find your products?
So you can find us on elizabethgrant.com for any place in the world that you would like. Or you can find us, if you're in America, on QVC, ShopLC, and those wonderful places there for the USA. You can find us in a wonderful opportunity, regardless of where you are, in whatever land you could be. And of course, if you ever find us on Amazon, just make sure it says from @EG Skincare, and it's us. But we are a direct to consumer. We have never had a brick and mortar other than when we first launched in the 40s, when we were in Selfridges in the UK. But we have had this really exceptional, passionate love affair with the omni channels and speaking directly to our community.
I love it. I love it. Now, before we go, if you could tell the listeners maybe three things, what are three things you'd like the listeners to walk away with remembering from this episode?
Be kinder to yourself. Be kinder to the person who you wish you could become, or the help that you wish you had and the love that you had. Change the narrative about your how you feel about aging. It's a blessing. It can be a beautiful day if you just think it is. Yeah. And last but not least, try not to fall into the patterns of why something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Tell yourself what's right with you. Because I can give you any skincare product that can fix you topically, left, right, and center. I'm happy to make y'all look younger, firmer, plumper, bouncier. And I do. But what I would also love to do is help people realize that your insides really matter so much more than this.
Yes.
Because as beautiful as this can be, if inside isn't feeling as great and as confident as you are, This is all an illusion, and you deserve to show up in the spaces that you're in.
I love it. I love it. This has been an amazing episode, Margot. I thank you so much for coming on this show. And I hope you'll be back because I really want to have you back. And I'd love to dive into other topics with you and really hear more of your wisdom because you have such great wisdom and knowledge when it comes to beauty and your inner self. And I'd love to hear more about it. But for now, thank you so much for taking this time to come on the show and share your wisdom with us and the listeners. And I just want to say thank you. You're a wonderful woman and you are beautiful inside and out.
Thank you. And for me, thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you to everybody. If you take the chance to listen, just thanks so much because it's such a privilege and such an honor to be welcomed into your hearts and into your homes.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, Margo.
You too.
Still searching for that perfect gift for mum? The one that says you know her so well? Make this Mother's Day one she'll never forget with special finds on Etsy. Like a handcrafted necklace to make her sparkle, or go big on sentiment with a hand-drawn portrait of her favourite family photo. From the personalised to the practical, we've got you covered with millions of active listings to choose from. Mother's Day is just 2 weeks away. Shop at Etsy.com and discover your perfect find today.